if you understood what I was trying to say to you in the first discourse, you'll be ready to continue on with me. We're in number 18. I'm going to take it very slow because it's easy to misunderstand this one. When the Great Way is abandoned, benevolence and righteousness arise. Let's just take those two sentences and see if you can understand what he is trying to tell us. When a person is not interested in the way, when they basically live by the pretense of their assumptions and presumptions, and they attempt to spend their whole life trying to make something that is not true appear to be true, it is then that we find we have been wasting our life away, using our energies inappropriately, and starting great trouble for ourselves. Most of our ambitions and the things that we get involved with in an ambitious way, they betray us. The world will always betray me, betray you. This is just the way it is built. Don't take it personally. The thing that you want to be true to is the intent. If you have an authentic intent, if you can understand what that authentic intent is, you will never, never misunderstand benevolence and its righteousness. When the Great Way is abandoned, the first thing that happens is we don't know what is good anymore, and we have no sense of the righteousness of true goodness. We just don't have it. We miss a great deal, and then we create the substance of our consequences, which start piling up in our 20s and 30s and 40s, and before you know it, they overwhelm us. When the Great Way, when the Tao is abandoned, I don't know what benevolence is and the righteousness of it. Benevolence is a supreme sense of goodness, something that goes beyond the rational mind. It is mercy. True benevolence begins in mercy, and its righteousness is forgiveness. Now, you've heard me talk about this for a long time, many, many years. But there is a part of you, and you know this, that is not interested in having mercy nor forgiveness, especially for those who challenged us in this world, or that maybe we have done the evil deed, whatever it may be, and we just don't have any ability to forgive ourselves for what we have done, and they don't either. Or maybe it's impossible for them to forgive us because they're out of their body now. They've moved on. Whatever. The first thing that is going to happen when I abandon the way within me is that I begin to recognize that I don't care about the goodness for other people. I don't care about serving others. I don't see it. To me, it looks bewildering. As one student said to me, when I challenged this student to understand they had no sense of character, this person said, "What does character get you? This person is not a giver, not at all, and will admit it. And for that, I respect them. But you have to understand, when I make a sense of my folly a sense of my misunderstanding, a sense of my evil, my mischief, and I make it appear to be righteous. There's a reason why I did that. There's a reason why I hate this person or that person. There's a reason why I was cruel to this person or that person. That is the pretense. And it causes a great deal of misunderstanding, not only in my life, but consequence in my life. I don't get it. The human body, the human mind is full of pretense. It's full of misunderstanding. It's full of mischief. For instance, there are many, many beautiful things to go and see in this world, I am sure. But to stay where you are, to stay at home within yourself and deal with the essential, this is the meaning of life. Taking my attentions and splintering them off into some kind of romantic fantasy about I'll be happier when I see this, this, and this, you know, your bucket list. You miss to stay home inside yourself and really work on benevolence and the sense of true righteousness. This is the meaning and the significance of our life. We aren't here to entertain the meat suit, the mind, the emotions, the quote-unquote feelings that we like to believe we have that are so very important and deceiving. We're not here for that. But they are popular. And the weak-hearted, the person who is full of mischief, who is full of hardness of heart, they have a great difficulty with all of this. There's a lot of pretense in our life. We think we know. We think we're right. We like to think we're right and think that we know what's right. And we like to bestow our good only on those people who would bestow good on us. We miss the whole thing. And I have found in my many years of being a teacher, many, many, you can't reason with people on this because reasoning and logic don't apply. It's obsession and compulsion that we're dealing with. I want to read you a story. I'll never forget this story. It was one of the first ones I ever heard from my master. And I am humbly grateful that I was aware enough to be there to hear this. Valkyrie was a murderer. He lived by murder and looting. Suddenly, he became interested in enlightenment. An enlightened person was passing by, and Valkyrie, a murderer, a man who lived by being a thief, caught a hold of the enlightened man. The man looked at him and said, "Well, what are you going to do?" "Valkyrie, I'm going to rob you of all you have." The enlightened man giggled and he said, "Well, I'd be happy just to give it to you because I have something that's inward and I would love to have you rob it. I don't have anything in the outer world to give you that would be of any value, but I have a priceless treasure within and you are welcome to it." Oh, Valkyrie could not understand this. He said, "I'm only concerned with outward things, not inward things." The enlightened man said, "Well, they won't help you much. And why are you doing this anyway?" Valkyrie replied, "Because my family, my mother, my wife, my children, they will starve to death if I don't do what I must do, which is to loot and kill. This is the only art I know." So the enlightened man said, "Bind me to that tree over there so I cannot escape. And go back and tell your mother, your wife, and your children that you are committing a sin to help them survive. Ask them if they are ready to share the punishment along with you that will happen as you live along and get caught, which you eventually do. You will get caught. Your circumstances and will create conflicts, and these conflicts will create consequence, and you're going to be punished. So ask them, are they willing to suffer with you? Well, for the first time, Alchemy started thinking, he might be right. I'll go and ask. So he went back and he asked his wife, and she said, well, why should I share punishment? I've done nothing wrong. And if you do anything that is your responsibility to do to keep me alive, to help me live, to be your wife, that's your responsibility, not mine. And his mother said, well, why should I share in it either? I'm your mother. It is your duty to feed me. I don't know how you bring the bread home to us, but that's your responsibility, and I don't want to know what you have to do that. Nobody was ready to share the punishment. In that moment, Alchemy went beyond his senses. He went beyond his ideology. He realized, oh my. He had an awakening past his pretense. He went back to the enlightened man and he said, teach me. Teach me how to understand the inner. Give me the inner. I'm not interested in the outer anymore. Now, I used to be a robber and a thief, but now I want to put that aside because I understand that I'm alone, and whatever I do is my responsibility, and nobody's going to share it. I am born alone, I live alone, I will die alone, and whatsoever I do is my individual and personal responsibility. I understand that. Nobody else is going to share it. Now, I must look inwards and find what I am. The enlightened person touched his forehead and said, come, follow me. I hope he did. I found this deeply moving when I was younger. I was in India. My parents were dead. I was just barely 21 years old, and I understood. I truly understood what Alchemy was going for. I never bought into the idea of giving a good, quote-unquote, sermon and having people judge it and throw money in the plate according to how they felt about my, quote-unquote, sermon. I understood how Alchemy could feel. I understood. I was not going to be that thief, to say things under pretense to the congregation, to make them feel good about themselves so they'd put in a little more money so I could at least have a loaf of bread to eat. No. That was never my way. I found as I went on, I had to be devoted to a cause greater than my survival. The pretense of religion, the pretense of thinking you will be cared for by doing the things that are not necessarily so righteous is an interesting concept. I have seen people do it all of my life, and they get away with it supposedly, or so they think, but eventually it catches up with them. It catches up with everybody. and they find that there are things that are very important that are lacking within them, and they realize they missed. But by the time they do, there's such a bundle of habit and repetition, they don't know how to let these things go, to tear away at the ropes and the chains that bind them to their habits and their repetitions. It's a very difficult thing for people to do. When the great way is abandoned, benevolence and righteousness arise. These become important things. But the problem is, I have not positioned myself in benevolence to understand the righteousness of what it means to be able to live a simple life. A life of love. A life of service to humankind. A life to kindness, generosity. Once we realize what we are doing, devoting our entire life to the mere survival of the outer, of the human way, and how futile this is, until I understand that, I will only live in the pretense of thinking that I'm doing my duty, and by doing so, I am righteous, I am benevolent, but I'm not. This doesn't take away my profound resentment. Of course, the little story here of alchemy is an old Indian story, and I am sure that, well, it is not something that is apparent to most people. Most people would just go along with what has worked for them just to survive and think, well, I'll pay the price later, or there is no price for my cruelty. But there is. It is the inability to understand the Tao, the inability to not follow the way, the inability to remember what is truly important. Most people can't remember this. So they just do what they do, and they go about living as they go about their living, hoping for the best, never understanding what it is that their life was really all about. You are a great goodness, and you don't know it. You are a great virtue, and you can't recognize it. And the way to live through all these things becomes the righteousness of a very meaningful life, where we are not only in service to those who come into our life to share our living, but also those who are our deepest enemy, people who do not like us. To serve those people when we have the opportunity is a very profound moment. It is the moment where we abandon pretense and come into living our life in the love that lives within us. This love is deeply important. It is the means of the way within us. I want to meditate with you so much. I really do meditate with you when we're doing these things. I want to read you from the Tao, something that might be of great service to you. And let this be the core of our meditation together, you and me. The way receives with gladness. Receive those who walk in its way. abandon all that is that you think, that you believe in, says Lao Tzu. Abandon it and find the true way. Let's sit together, abandoning it, understanding the true way.